dive into your holy word. And may we apply this text to our lives. God, may you make us better disciples, led by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We are God's masterpieces, his workmanship. So then this Sunday morning, we're going to talk about what it means to be God's workmanship. So when we look around the world around us, and if you remember several months ago, the first thing I would ask the congregation is, where have you seen God today, right? You guys remember this? Okay. So where have you seen God today? When we look around the world, where is God ever present? Because sometimes we can get so caught up in the busyness of our own life that we fail to just pause and to see the awe of how awesome the creator of the universe is. And I was reminded of this when I posted a picture from 9 years ago. We were living in southern Illinois near St. Louis. And I was traveling around doing youth pastor trainings, which was really awesome and exciting. And it was the first time in my life that I had ever really seen fall. And there was this beautiful red tree. Again, first time for me ever. And to be able to look at the awe of what God created. When we look at the world, it's crazy for me to think that there are those people that do not believe that there is a divine creator. That out of nothing, this all came into being. God is a beautiful artist in his creation. I mean, look at the human body and all of its frailness, but also in all of its beauty, that everything works together the way it's supposed to. The earth, that we are just far enough from the sun, but not close enough, right? Like, it's perfect. And usually when things get messed up is when human beings interfere, right? From the natural disasters. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they're like, yeah, you know, in some countries, they force it to rain. Like, they manipulate clouds and they do all kind of crazy things. We manipulate rivers and waterways. Think my home state of Louisiana. I mean, most of it's supposed to be underwater. And what happens is people decided to move down there and live, and now it floods all the time. And we're guessing, why does this happen? Well, we're messing with the earth that God created. God is the author of creation. He created this place. And I don't think it's our responsibility to mess with what God has done, right? The cloning that we have going on. All of these things, you can look in the news, of the things that human beings are trying to do to play God. But God's creation is absolutely beautiful. And the more that you see the country or travel the world, some of you guys are world travelers, you guys can bear testimony to what God has done. And it makes me really sad when there are people that have more faith in it happening randomly than there being a divine creator. And despite our shortcomings, despite our imperfections, as we learned, we are the sons and daughters of this great creator. So in today's sermon, we really have 3 points for you. Our past life, before we acknowledged Christ into our life, our present life as disciples of Jesus, and God's future promise for us as believers, again, out of Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. And so when we look at our past life, it says this one verse here. At one time, you were like a dead person because of the things you did wrong and your offenses against God. So the scripture actually says we were like dead people. Now, if you know anything about, you know, the modern like TV shows and whatnot, my son is obsessed with the zombies, you know, the zombie movement, right? So there's all these TV shows and Netflix series about zombies. So when I'm thinking of we're like dead people, I'm thinking we're kind of like zombies walking around without a brain, right? Not able to really think about what we're doing, the implications. We're walking around as the walking dead, right? We're walking around in our past life. Because at the simplicity, Romans 3:23 tells us what? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we were all dead in sin. All of us this morning. And for some of us, that's hard because you think, well, you know, I've been a good egg my whole life. You guys ever hear of being a good egg? Is that just, okay, good. So I always tell my kids, be a good egg, right? And my great-grandma used to always tell me, well, be a good egg for your mom and dad, right? So all of us this morning, you may be thinking, well, I've been good my whole life. You know, I really did not have a moment that I hit rock bottom. But all of us are sinners. All fall short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter how good of an egg you truly were. And again, I use that terminology to hit rock bottom because Scripture tells us, there's a passage in Isaiah that talks about worship. And part of our worship is acknowledging our sin and then moving forward through with the Holy Spirit as born-again believers of Jesus. You know, Jesus tells us we must be born anew to inherit the kingdom of God. And so I think for some folks that, again, have had these crazy lifestyles that have had to go through AA, our rehab, our treatment, they've had, some type of addiction problem, they are easier to point to that moment of time than some of us that grew up in the church or their whole life. But each are valid expressions of our faith. We too have that rock bottom moment. It might not be through AA, but it's through a moment of getting on your knees to Jesus and saying, God, I've messed up. I'm a sinner, right? Until we've had that moment, we cannot have a past life in this scripture. Romans 7:18 tells us this, friends. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. So our theology teaches us there is no good in us by ourselves. We are sinners, sinners, sinners. Truly, that's what our theology teaches. It's what the Bible teaches. But Jesus comes into our hearts and the good comes forth from us. We are rescued from the sin of death. Now, I want you to think if the Israelites who were rescued from physical slavery, the Israelites rescued from waters of death and famine, if they were to forget this past life, because friends, we have to remember our past life. We can't just be freed from sin and then forget about it like it never happened, right? Because that bears our testimony. So when you're sharing your faith with someone, you never know how your personal testimony can change a life. Maybe the Lord freed you from anxiety or depression or, I don't know, there could be numerous things that Jesus brought you out of the gates of hell from that your neighbor is also experiencing. I watched this short video last night. Do you guys know who D.L. Moody is? He was an evangelist. He started Moody Bible College in Chicago. And he had a couple preachers come up because D.L. Moody was evangelizing and all of these people were coming to know Christ. And they asked him basically what was the secret. So the short story is they go up to the hotel room and these two preachers and D.L. Moody are standing there. And he says, well, and they're looking at all the people out in the crowds in Chicago, right? Lots of people. And the one pastor says, well, I see children playing. right? Another one says, I see the large trees that that God created. And Moody said, I see a mass group of people that don't know Jesus that are going to go to hell. That was the difference. He was concerned about the eternal security of the people of God. Now, he was a little bit of a hellfire brimstone preacher, but I give him that. He was genuinely concerned about the salvation of the people. And that's the type of urgency that we have to have, because there are people that don't know Jesus. And this particular video I was watching was a street preacher in England, where less than 1% of the populace now is Christian, where they have these huge cathedrals with no one going into them. I mean, again, when I was in the Holy Lands, we went into some beautiful ancient churches that haven't had believers celebrate the Eucharist or seen a baptism in hundreds of years. And we as a people have to remember how Jesus freed us from our sin so that we can share with those lost sheep. Which brings us to point two here, our present life, verses 4-6. However, God, rich in mercy, he bought us new life with Christ while we were still dead as a result of those things that we did that was wrong. He did this because of the great love he has for us. You are saved by God's grace. And God raised us up and seated us in the heavenly realms with Jesus Christ. So Jesus, while we were still sinners, freed us from death. He could tell into our future. The Lord God in heaven knows everything we're going to do. Now, again, we've talked about this is the whole free will conversation. God knows what we're going to do, but does he make us do it all? No, I don't believe that. I believe that we have to take some personal responsibility for our actions and behaviors. I hope we all agree with that this morning. As Americans, we certainly should, because we are all about being able to work and do things for ourselves. And so God of the universe gives us free will. But in our present life, God has freed us. Someone said, mercy pities and grace pardons. In Romans 5:8, it tells us, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Again, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we are no longer dead in sin, and we were raised to a new life in Christ. So again, at our baptisms, we are raised into this new life of Jesus. Now, I have a favor. We have a baptism coming up. And I've already told Miss Nancy, she's the only one that knows in here right now, I need a horse trough. Does anybody have a horse trough? All right, I need a horse trough. So I don't know if it's ever happened in the life of First Lutheran Church, but we have a baptism that is an adult, or a teenager in this case. And if they're a teenager, they're going to get dumped. So I'm going to get a horse trough, and we're going to put it behind the church, and we're going to all look that way, and we're going to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, okay? So I need a horse trough. Anybody has any connections, we're going to make it happen. Because as Lutherans, we do all three forms of baptisms, right? We do immersion, we do sprinkling, right? And we do pouring. Is the three mods. And so we don't submerge babies like the Greek Orthodox, but we sure do for adults. So we need that. So in our baptism is a physical reminder of our old body, our old self dying, and our new self rising in Christ. That's what it is. And if there is no old self dying, what's the point? Do you guys know the old song, Rock of Ages? Is that a familiar one for you guys? Nothing in my hand I bring, simply thy cross I cling. Nothing. We bring nothing to the cross. It is Jesus and what he did for us. It is the freedom that he gives us and the freedom of conversion that gives us joy and thanksgiving as believers of Christ. It is a joyful thing to be a believer of Jesus. He equips us to study his word, to sing his praise, to evangelize to the lost sheep of the world. It brings us excitement to do that. It's not just something we have to do. It's something we want to do because of the life we have in Jesus. And I want you to think about your neighbors this morning. Your neighbors. How many of them don't know Christ? And I know I've said it a million times probably. But when we die one day, we want to see our neighbors. I want to see my friends. I want to see my family members. And I have family members who don't believe. And I try. And sometimes it makes family gatherings very awkward, right? Because I'm trying to share Jesus with somebody and they don't want to hear it. And the next thing you know, we've got a family fight because I'm trying to teach Jesus to them. But guess what? I tell them. That's my job. I have to do it, right? Like, I do this for a living, so I'm not going to change who I am at a family function because I believe in Jesus. We are Christians 24/7, 7 days a week. It doesn't matter where you're at. You have to be able to share Christ with the world, and you want to because you believe in Jesus. In Romans 6, 1 through 4, it says this. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? So we have an outward expression of our inward faith. We get that? So when we have been baptized, we've been given new life in Christ, it affects how we live today. It has to. We have fruit because of our salvation. We're not working our way to heaven this morning, but we have good fruit because of our faith in Christ, which brings us to the future promise. In verses 7 to 10, it says, God did this to show future generations the greatness of his grace by the goodness that God has shown us in Christ Jesus. You are saved by God's grace because of your faith. The salvation is God's gift. It's not something you possessed. It's not something you did that you can be proud of. Instead, these are God's accomplishments, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. And God planned for these good things to be the way that we live our lives. Again, as we continue Paul's words from our past life to our current life to the promise of the future. And again, God did not promise us, as they used to say, a rose garden, right? We're not promised a good, prosperous life because we believe in Jesus. In fact, we are promised the opposite, that when we accept Jesus into our lives, that we will expect persecution. We expect the world to not get along with us. And for many generations here in this country, it was Christendom, right? It was a country that was infected by the Bible Belt. And in fact, in parts of the South where I'm from, it's still much the Bible Belt. The Christian faith still determines the culture around us. But I would say up here, the culture definitely does not care in all the way what the church says, right? And I start seeing this again in policies in Washington, D.C., not talking about any particular president, but all of this is gathered around not what the scripture says. And we have a responsibility, friends, as believers of Jesus, to have a changed life. The promise of God, the promise of our future life, has two parts: what God shows and what we show. And salvation is a gift of God's love. When we are saved, our works reflect this relationship. It reflects this relationship. When we truly believe in Jesus, our life is changed, period. So I want you to think of, again, we've talked about this, our church mothers and fathers, those that taught you the faith growing up. Was their life different because they were believing in Jesus? How do they act at home? I hope you had that Christian model in your life, that they lived a life of faith. They lived a life of faith. And when it came to their communal life, because we have two parts as Christians, we have our individual lives that we have. We talked about integrity in one of our prayers, I think, this morning. Or was it the psalm reading? We just started teaching that to our son. What is integrity? Right? It's what you're doing when no one's watching, right? So what are you doing when no one's watching that reflects a life of Christian faith? Number one. And number two, your communal life. This is your family, your church family. How do we treat each other? How do we love each other? How do we take care of each other? All of those things matter too. Those are both part of the Christian walk of faith. So we need to really reflect on that, because again, when we have, you guys are so fired up to share the love of Jesus with the lost sheep of the world. When those lost sheep start coming to First Lutheran and they need to be discipled what it means to be a believer in Jesus, because they don't know nothing about it, what do they learn from us this morning? And they're there, friends. I think I told you that. My first youth group, we brought a bunch of lost kids into the church, and that was a real struggle for some of our, what do my friends call them? OWLs, older, wiser leaders, right? And these kids came into the sanctuary, and they had never been in worship in their life. And we started worshiping with them, and they would drop an F-bomb in the middle of worship, right? Who would be excited about that? Nobody, right? But they knew, they didn't know better. They didn't grow up in environments that taught them what church was. So, let me give you a secret. There's a lot of these people in the world. There's a lot of them. We are the minority anymore. And so I need y'all, God needs us to disciple and to bring these people to know Christ and what it is to be a believer. Not just how to walk the walk, but truly in their hearts. Invest in Jesus. So again, I'm going to close like I did last week here. God doesn't want us to live just as sinners, but also as saints. We're saints and sinners. God is the Lord of all. And we must remember our past life. Number one, that we are people guilty of sin and death. That it's Jesus that freed us. Because we were dead in our transgressions. So if you remember anything from point one here is, we were like zombies walking around without brains, right? Going on sinning. Sinning. That is who we were before Jesus. And part of it is we can't help it. We are born into a world that is full of sin. Just look around us. Next, we must live as people with joy of our present life, with hope, the assurance of our inheritance, and a new life made possible for each of us here at our church and all Christians around the world. And lastly, we must live as people of promise. And again, that promise has two parts for us, friends. That what he shows us, God, as faithful, because God says, if we will be his people, he will be our God. And what we show as a result of our belief in Christ, our good fruits. Because I don't know about you all, but Jesus says, you know, he's going to cut off the dead branches, put them in a pile and burn them. Now, I don't want to end up in the pile to get burnt. I would much rather be pruned and given new good life and be able to be used for Jesus while I'm here. The Christian walks the walk and talks the talk. And that's, hey, all of us mess up from time to time. Right? Even me. I mess up. But that doesn't mean Jesus is right away going to put me in the pile. Right? He works with me. He holds me accountable. He uses my friends, at my accountability partners. I hope everyone is seeking an accountability partner to help you grow. And we as a congregation, living as saints and sinners, must embrace our identity and the workmanship of God, living as masterpieces of the Creator of the universe. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, let us be your masterpieces. God, the scripture tells us that you are the potter and we are the clay. So God, mold us, form us, hold us accountable. Help us embrace this life that we have only in you. God, help us be brothers and sisters in you, God, living of love and peace and joy. God, so that we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus, God, to this world. God, that is becoming less and less, God, believers in you. God, I hurt for those people. God, but you have given us a gift, the church, to be your hands and feet. So God, equip this congregation out of their sincere desire to reach these people, the ability to love on the lost sheep. God, and let us start right here in Dundalk. God, be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us rise.